My mark moved with an expensive high-heeled strut, the kind that said she'd grown up fed with a silver spoon. That tracked with the haircut and outfit that tried to look edgy, but just looked money instead. Not much older than I was, 18 max. I'd been trailing her for blocks, but she'd never once looked around for trouble. Dumbass. This one, she belonged in paradise on the other side of the invisible wall, where the suckers thrived, full of brand name merch and clean wide streets, full of polite good mornings and how are yous. But she was in the zone, my zone. Gritty, dirty, the shops full of knockoffs and people paradise didn't fit. Like me. My mark swaggered down the cracked sidewalk and clearly expected others to make way, and they did. An old lady hobbling on a walking stick flinched to avoid a shoulder check, and my target didn't even break stride. The street, she felt, was hers. With a designer bag dangling, she looked like the tastiest score I'd seen in months. She deserved this. Plus, she had to be up to no good slumming in my neighborhood. The Lower Eight, the only blight still remaining on the ripe peach of New Detroit. We could see the graceful old lines of downtown, preserved and refined from where I stood. That didn't mean we were part of it. Money Girl seemed to be aiming for a dive a block down. I moved faster, got closer, and before she could dodge inside, I flicked the knife open that I'd been holding ready in my hand. I quickly reached out and sliced the strap on her purse. Hardly a hiss of resistance, and no security cable in it at all. The prize fell into my hands like a ripe fruit, and I kicked off the broken sidewalk to a run. I raced around the corner and pushed against the side of the building. Thief! You're dead when they catch you! Good luck with that. Enforcement drones were hard to come by in the zone because people were always trapping and scrapping. She'd have even less luck finding a human patrol officer. Her shrill cries faded as I bounded over a fence and cut through an alley, high on success. With this haul, Derry and I could eat and drink for a week. One more week of freedom. I crouched in the shadow of the VR porn studio and wedged myself in to take a quick inventory. It was every bit as lush as I'd hoped. All kinds of tech, some meds that would sell high, and I pulled out a metallic box. It had a thumb lock on the lid, but that was a fancy's ignorant precaution. I popped the hinges and got the thing open within seconds. Inside, there was a single clear pack that quickened my pulse. Glittering crystals, flashing multicolored in the weak sun. Some kind of chem. Definitely nothing I'd seen on the street before, but new ones showed up all the time. Might be worth coin. Under that, a slender little data tab. Only a right fool would take traceable tech. So I stuck the chem in my pocket, stashed the metal box with the data tab still in it under some bricks, and bolted. I crisscrossed twice and backtracked once before darting down a crumbling set of concrete stairs. Constantly glancing over my shoulder, I knocked on a rusted metal door in code reserved for Conde's clients. A bony hand reached out and dragged me into the den, but I'd done this before, so I just shrugged out of Conde's grasp and offered him the heavy embossed bag. The leather, real leather, rippled like silk. Buttery soft, cash in every inch. "Make it quick, man. It's warm," I said. Conde didn't like to be told what to do. He was a skeletal old fence, pale as spoiled milk, gray hair ratty around his shoulders. But he was smart, and he didn't argue. He shuffled to the counter, which looked like it had been ripped out of a kitchen. That was the only homey touch, though, as electronic guts, glowing screens, and dangling wires covered every square centimeter. His den swam with shadows and smelled vaguely of piss and rodent droppings, but Conde was the best in the Lower Eight. We all knew it.